And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us, in keeping with God's will. Verse 8, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality, as it is written, he that gathered much did not have too little, and he that gathered little did not have too little. Now skip down to chapter 9, verse 11. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's verse 13 that I want you to look at for just a few minutes. We only have a few minutes. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. There's a maternity coat around the church here. I keep seeing it from lady to lady to lady. It's gone the rounds. I don't know how many times it's gone the rounds. I don't know where it came from to begin with. But that maternity coat has gone the rounds. And there's a lot of children's clothes that keep showing up in different families. They just don't get worn out. They're still new. He outgrew them. She outgrew them. And they're still good. So they just get passed around. And there are some other clothes, too. Every once in a while, a lady will look at another lady, and she'll glance at her dress, and there'll be a knowing smile. And for some reason or other, the one wasn't going ahead to use that, and the other was. Thankful, because someone else is getting some good out of it, and it's still good. Thankful, because it met a real need. There's a car out back that was taken care of and then turned over to a pastor. And then with a little exchange of money, it was turned over to someone else. That's really what he's talking about there. because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. The fellowship of sharing your possessions with someone who has a particular need. Where that word koinonia appears in the New Testament, it is usually, far more frequently, connected with the sharing of your physical possessions than it is with any of these other things. We've talked about the sharing of your spiritual gifts and the sharing of your spiritual blessings, about the sharing of these things. We've talked about these in sermons leading up to this point. But today, in the very brief time that we have left, it's the sharing of your physical possessions. And that's the word that is used most frequently in connection with the word koinonia or koinonion. It's the sharing of physical possessions and the sharing of them in such a way that there's a need and I just meet the need. And the need's met. And the first immediate response on the part of the person who receives it, thank you, God. It produces praise to God. Westminster Confession of Faith says that's why we're made, to give glory to God. Man's chief end, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so anything that stimulates other people to glorify God. Now, after they have said, thank you, God, I've met a need. I couldn't have known it otherwise. Then they may also turn and say, you know, I thank you for being available so that God could use you to meet a need. But it builds a relationship with Him. That's part of that's the way God designed the Christian faith. So that one person can stimulate and encourage another person to do the thing that he was created to do, glorify God. And at the same time, it builds a fellowship among believers. I'll tell you one more story from Washington. It's a tearjerker. Tony Campolo told a story. He's a rough-hewn man who works with the labor unions and the management in the Pittsburgh area particularly. And you wouldn't expect this kind of a story coming from Tony. But he told it, and there were a few dry eyes, and mine probably won't be dry when it finishes. But Miss Thompson... no relationship to any Thompson in this congregation, but her name happened to be Miss Thompson. She was a fifth grade teacher. I've forgotten the name of the boy. Was it Joe or whatever it was his name was? But he was in the fifth grade class. And she found she just didn't like Joe. He didn't smell good. He didn't look good. He was always dirty. His face was always down. He never looked up. And she should have known better because she wanted to love the boys and girls in her class. And she was a good teacher and she knew how to do that. But she just couldn't get any response from Joe. And if she had looked at the records, and she really had, but she didn't want to really. She was just worn, tired, because she was a good teacher. She would have seen in grade 2... Joe's a good boy. He wants to do what the teachers want. He struggles. Grade 3, Joe is struggling. He's obedient. He's kind. But his mother's sick. Grade 4, his mother's dead. And his father doesn't have any sense of responsibility. But he's still a good boy. Grade 5 was where she caught him. That's where she was teaching. And the boys and girls all brought Christmas gifts in to the teachers in that school. And so everybody else brought their Christmas gift in, put it on the teacher's desk. And after the others were opened, there was that one that was just wrapped up in a brown paper bag. And she opened it, and there was a bottle of cheap perfume, half empty.
an old bracelet. It was broken.
And the children started to laugh, as only children can do. And in order to stop that, she took some of the perfume and put it on her wrist, and she snapped the bracelet on her arm and held it up for everyone to see. And the others stopped laughing. Joe stuck around a little while after the others had left. He came up to her desk. Said, "You know, you just smell like my mother. And that bracelet was hers." And so she began paying some attention to him. And she tutored him. And she helped him. And a couple of years later, she found this little note there. "Dear Miss Thompson, I'm graduating to go to high school. And I just thought you'd like to know." 4 years later, there's another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I'm graduating from high school, fourth in my class. Thought you'd like to know." 4 years later, another note. "I'm graduating from college, first in my class. Five or six years later, graduating from medical school. Thought you'd like to know. Here so after that. And being married. I'd like you to sit where mother would sit." A sharing of gifts that identified with the need. I very much interested that Charles Hodge and John Murray both said that we are to give at the command of God in obedience to Him. There's no option. The Christian has no option. Those statements in Scripture are commands. It's not a thing you do if you feel like it, if you happen to love someone else. As Christians, we are commanded to give. But those two men also pointed out that the Scriptures say we are to identify with others in need. We are to share, not just to them, but with them. To understand their need. And when we understand their need, to shiver with them, and to cry with them, and to struggle with them, and when we understand their need, then we give with them. And it's a command. But we don't do it just because we have to. We do it because we are with them in their need. And when we understand and identify in their need, then we don't just give to them as philanthropy or charity, but we give with them. As Miss Thompson did with Joe. And as Joe did with Miss Thompson. And we become identified with each other. And that's koinonia. Now, why do we give this way? Because Christ. Because God gave this way. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And because Christ gave this way. He didn't give just because He was commanded to give His life on the cross. He gave because He wanted to give His life on the cross. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor. So that through His poverty, you might become rich. He identified with you in your need. That's why we give this way, with this kind of giving. Because God gave. That's why. And when do we share? Well, those extemporaneous sharings, like the maternity coat, like Joe and Miss Thompson, whenever the need arises. Whenever the need arises. And there's some people who are very good at sensing when that need's there. If you're not, then pray about it, and God will make you able to. I don't know how long it's been since you sensed that kind of a need. And they're just given to meet it. You've identified the need, and you go ahead to meet the need. You've identified with the person. But then in 1 Corinthians 16, there's another very specific statement about when that giving takes place. Now about the collection for God's people, verse 1. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. This is in direct harmony with God's Old Testament commands. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and I'll bless you in it. It's to be a regular, consistent practice. It's God's way of reminding us that everything we have belongs to Him. That the first day of every week, and I could give you, if we had time, five reasons for knowing that this, for the Christian, is this particular day, the Lord's day. The first day of every week, he's very plain about it, you bring this offering. It's so easy for Satan to win a battle here. If I can write a check, then why do I need God? The minute we become able to provide for ourselves financially, we just provide for ourselves. We forget that we're dependent upon God. We just write a check. But one of the things, the means whereby he's provided so that we will remember that the checks are made possible, we can write them because of him and him alone, is this weekly offering. This weekly offering. That's why he says the first day of every week, bring it and give it. Each time we figure our weekly income to set aside a sum of money, quote, in keeping with our income, in keeping with our income, then we are reminded that everything we have is his. It's all his. And we give it to his glory. And it all belongs to him for his glory. And the first day of the week, that's the way the collection is taken up. As he puts it there in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. When do we give? At that extemporaneous need. We recognize the need. But then regularly and consistently, each week, without fail, in accordance with our income. With whom do we share? God says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. The them refers to the Christians. You share with them and with everyone else, those who are not yet believers. You don't buy their faith, but you let them know the Christian love. You share with the other believers. And that's the thing that builds the believers together into a body. That your plenty will supply their need will then one day become plenty, and they will supply your need, and that's the way you're built together in a fellowship. That's the financial basis for fellowship. But you're also giving to the others. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It isn't that God isn't interested in the unbelievers. It is that the believers have to be equipped to get the job done. That's one thing I've so much appreciated about this congregation. Because you've said from the very beginning what the ministry costs we want to provide. And that's the basis for that ministry expense account. You know, that's the thing that I see so many other pastors are handicapped with. They're hamstrung. Their hands are tied behind their back. They see things that need to be done. They can't do it. But you've sensed that as a congregation. And that comes up in that budget item. You have provided whatever the ministry costs. You've said, we want to pay that. And you've freed my hands and the hands of others. It's not that God is uninterested in those who are not the family of believers. It is that the way to reach them is through the believers and the equipping of them. And in all this giving, we need to be careful to make a distinction between what people want and what they need, how they use what they have. Finally, how do we give in the fellowship of sharing? How do we give? Well, it's not just in order to get a tax deduction. Tax laws and provisions can actually kill the spirit of giving and fellowship, as we've talked about it here. Why should I praise God if I'm just a tax deduction to enable you to get a little more off your tax deduction? That's the problem. How long has it been since you gave something without caring or even thinking about what it'll mean if it means anything? Think about that. And if it's been a long time, then deliberately set yourself some time just to ignore that. And give to the need. Hebrews 13:16 says it this way, do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is praised. I want to tell you one humorous story, and I hope it doesn't just take the particular thought out of your mind, so please follow the rabbit. The chicken and the pig were walking downtown, and they looked up and saw this big sign up here, and it said ham and eggs, 99 cents. And the chicken looked at the pig, and she said, doesn't that make you feel important? You're making a real contribution to society. Contribution. The pig says, well, ma'am, it may be a contribution as far as you're concerned, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a downright sacrifice. But some people only give contributions, but others give a sacrifice. How long has it been since you sensed a need? You've identified with someone in that need. You've identified with them in that need, and you've given in a sacrificial way to meet that need. As Joe did with Miss Thompson, and as Miss Thompson did with Joe. That is a fellowship of sharing things. This service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God, thank you for telling us, reminding us, explaining to us again that fellowship involves more than just a friendly chat or a cup of coffee. That involves more even than sharing spiritual gifts. That involves sharing physical possessions. Thank you, God, for the way you identified with our needs and gave your only begotten Son. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the way you, being rich, became poor. That we, through your poverty, might become rich. God bless us as we would live out that same sharing fellowship with others now. Make us alert to their needs, that we can identify with them in the need, and then through the abundance that you provided for us, share with them. And God bless those who may not have an abundance, as they would be on the receiving end
And know that it's just as important to have receivers as to have givers. But God, melt us together into a fellowship of those who share their physical possessions with one another. Thank you for those godly women who are sharing, and for the men who have shared and who keep on sharing, and for the teachers, and for the children with parents and parents with children. Thank you, God, for that fellowship of sharing physical possessions. In Jesus' name, amen.
In closing, let's sing together from Psalm 122. Psalm 122a.